Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is a continuation to the swords, magical swords, and how to get one.
Woo!
The woo, but at the beginning rather than the end.
You sounded so enthusiastic. We're tired. We're all tired.
I thought I was being enthusiastic.
Like, woo! Woo!
Okay, y'all, it's finally happened. We are finally revisiting this one.
Yes!
It has been a bit.
It's been a bit because we decided to focus on some other short ones, which is not bad. But
it's been a minute.
Oh, okay, that was you. So, in this one, we're going to be talking about especially Excalibur and the Hanjo Masamune, which we have mentioned before, again, in Magical Swords and How to Get One, but since that one was almost 50 minutes, we're going to do a little mini for these. I did mention before that Excalibur... The name Excalibur comes from, like, the French word, if I can find it, comes from the French word, literally, Excalibur, but, originally, King Arthur is Welsh, the Arthurian legends are Welsh, the first mention of King Arthur in the Mabinogi, or the Mabinogion, is in Welsh. So, obviously, his sword is going to be Welsh.
German.
I think he was trying to make a joke.
Welsh.
Which is not bad. It's good. Sorry, I just got to hold on of a pen.
Do you want me to hold the pen?
I don't know. I feel like I need to hold something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Go grab the pen. Because you're about to staple your finger by accident.
Okay.
Dear goodness. She grabbed a stapler, y'all.
And she grabbed it by the end with her fingers under the stapling part.
I did not know what like
this.
Yes,
you did.
You literally went... And you grabbed it and had your finger on it. It was ready.
I did not!
Did you? I watched
like
you do it!
Too.
You know what?
Not my mouse. Grab the pen!
Okay.
We just wasted a minute and 35 seconds doing this.
That's fine. It was funny and it's got us energetic.
Okay, so I did mention that Excalibur and the Sword and the Stone are two completely different things. The Sword and the Stone.
Twister if you're not careful.
The Sword and the Stone. So, are you okay, Kristen?
Yeah, I'm
scratching
my
head. Okay.
And going slow.
You looked like you were regretting a lot of life choices.
I do that all the time.
Anyways. So, the Sword and the Stone is the one that is like, whoever pulls this shall be the rightful king of England. I'm assuming it's just this very, very old sword. So, that's the reason why it breaks on Arthur in his first battle. And Merlin's like, obviously we can't have that. So they go to the Lake of Avalon and summon up the Lady of the Lake. And the Lady of the Lake thus produces Excalibur from the lake's mighty and deep depths. Which in... I don't want to say Celtic is like a generic term. But in ancient societies, I did mention throwing the swords into... bogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here they would also throw them into lakes as a sort of like sacrifice for like, thank you, sword, for giving me this victory, or mm-hmm. like, you were a good sword, it's time for you to rest. So they throw it into the lake as like a sort of like sacrifice to water spirits, to the gods, to whoever is listening, as a sign of either thank you or like, I will give you my sword if you can like grant me victory over this battle. But with, the romances, cause that's what they were called back in like the, 12th through 14th or 15th century, thanks to Chrétien de Troyes.
That is a name.
I hate this.
Why do you hate it?
Cause he came up with Lancelot as a self-insert.
Oh my god.
He's like, you know who would be good? This guy who is absolutely perfect and has done nothing wrong and has the hots for the queen.
That's awkward.
Anyways. So, he kind of like reamps the legends. He includes a lot of things dealing with Excalibur, which is like, this sword is like the most magical sword and it can't do anything, yada yada yada. But in reality, as I said, it's the sheath. The sheath of Excalibur is the one that protects Arthur from any mortal wounds, any battle, and he can get like mildly hurt, but he can't die.
Okay.
If he carries that. Excalibur is just like this really cool sword that does really cool stuff, but it's not magical.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
So how does it do cool stuff?
Yeah.
I'm guessing Arthur can do cool stuff with it.
Oh, okay. So it feels like a little bit like when a cat gets a new toy, but instead of wanting to play with the toy itself, the cat wants to play with
the box. Yes. With the box. So, leading to the stone and the lake and everything, and this involving like the Lancelot Grail cycle, in some of the stories of the Mabinogion, actually Arthur's cousin, Culhu asks him, hey, I really like this girl, Olwen, but her father is a giant and won't let anybody marry her. And Arthur's like, okay, you know what, cousin? I'm going to give you Excalibur with a sheath so you can, like, kill the giant. I mean, it could be reinterpreted as a dragon. Kill the giant so you can marry Olwen. So, like, that's one of the mentions of Excalibur. Like, I can let you borrow this. So, like, it doesn't specifically, like... It's not specifically attached to Arthur.
Yeah.
Arthur can be like, yeah, sure, cool, you can borrow it. It's like somebody's car.
Or pencil.
Yeah. Or a pencil. Yes, you can have my favorite pencil. It brings me good luck. I'm very, like...
She is...
Animated.
Sharp, yes. And to the point.
I'm very animated with this pen.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm also messing with, like...
Take on me, be like... The drawing.
Oh yeah, animated with the pen. Okay. Which leads me to say...
The blank. That leads me to say...
I forgot!
The face Carson is making right now. Oh my god.
I'm ready for it. Leads you to say.
It leads me to say that while Excalibur is like the, like, you can't separate Arthur from Excalibur, but people tend to forget that Excalibur is like not just Arthur's only weapon.
Mm-hmm. Why am
I doing this? I don't know.
What were you doing? Oh, my lord.
Someone gave them too much mead.
And I passed the opportunity of buying a drinking horn at the thrift store.
It was an antique shop.
Well, at the antique shop.
That would have been bad, because it was probably crusty and dusty.
I was about to say, would have not smelled good.
I think it would have been better if you got one at, like, Scarborough.
Yeah.
Even though they're a little more expensive, they're bigger. You could get a minotaur horn. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Like, gigantic.
Oh lord.
Bigger than you.
Oh no.
That's...
Wear it on your back, like a quiver.
That'd be cool.
You know what's funny though?
What?
Is that Excalibur... Actually, no. Like I said, one of Arthur's, like, swords, because he has various other swords.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this in the sword episode. He has a sword called Clariant or something like that, and it's, like, his sword of peace, and he uses it to kill Mordred. So he's like...
Take this piece.
Which, my poor boy, Well, my poor boys. So, actually, Excalibur as a relic. There is, like, a sword identified, quote-unquote, as Excalibur. And it was supposedly discovered during the exhumation of Arthur's grave in Glastonbury.
Mm-hmm.
In the 12th century, specifically in 1191, my bad, were, like, these monks, and, okay, so reportedly, as if I'm not mistaken, Glastonbury was not having a lot of, like, pilgrims coming into the abbey.
Yeah.
And, like, every abbey in England, and not just England, but in Britain, had, like, some sort of saint relic, some sort of historic hero relic,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So Glastonbury was like,
We need one!
So they just, I don't know how they got to, like, digging up graves. This does not sound good. I don't know how they got to digging up graves. They found a grave with the skeletons of a man and a woman. I don't know how they identified them as a man and a woman.
Well, I mean,
they found a lead cross that said, "Here lies King here lies Arthur, King of the Britons," or something. And supposedly, they also found his sword.
Yeah.
In the grave, and they got the cross and they got the sword as, like, relics in the abbey, and, like, people just came flocking over.
They're like, ooh, shiny,
and it was lost.
Great.
It was lost.
Wonderful.
And you know what's funny is that there are similar swords of these to kings, like, in Irish mythology,
mm-hmm,
such as, like, the Caladbalg, which was the sword to, like, King Fergus MacRiach. And there was the Tolkiel Troy, or the Destruction of Troy, which, it's, like, a sword of light. A sword of light! But it was, like, a sword of light, according to the Irish translation of this, like, classical tale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, a sword that literally shines, and it does all these kinds of cool stuff. Now, on to the Hanjo Masamune.
That was... Wow.
That was very, like, smooth. Yes. So the Hanjo Masamune. What is the Hanjo Masamune? It is...
I'm gonna guess the sword.
Huh.
You asked. I answered.
You lost me. You... I was over here like, where is it? I was gonna talk about... Oh, here it is. So there are legends of Masamune and Muramasa. So, legend says that the test where Muramasa challenges Master Masamune was to see who could make a perfect good sword. And these two worked day in, day out to create the best sword that they could. And they decided to test the results. Literally, I'm thinking of, like, the tests in Forged and Fire.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
so, like, the...
We got into this discussion last time,
I too. Know, so... Forged and Fire. This will kill. Where was I? Okay,
Cut.
The tests.
So...
Or the test.
But this test was to suspend the blades in a small creek with the cutting edge facing against the current.
Okay.
So,
To split the current.
To split anything coming in.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. So, like, any fish, any logs, any branches. Oh, that looked like it hurt.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
It's dull.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it's just... So, Muramasa sword, the Huchi Yosamu... which literally means 10,000 cold nights.
Ooh. Wow, that's a name.
That's a name. It cut everything that passed in its way. Swords. I mean, I would imagine it would cut swords too. But I was thinking swords and I just read fish. So fish, leaves, anything. And Muramasa was like, okay, you know, that's cool. That's cool. So he lowered his sword, the... the Yoikari, or tender hands, into the current, and only leaves were cut. But the fish swam right up to it, and like...
deflected.
And like, the air was like... the sound was as if the air was cut. So like...
wow.
Yes.
Next to a fish?
Next to... I'm assuming he took the sword out of the creek and just was like...
oh, okay.
Next to a fish?
Well, it was a little confusing, okay? Next to a fish?
I think the funny part was the fish.
The fish.
And I will rise up.
So, it's, I am lost.
You were talking about the fish.
But now I'm found.
Amazing. I'm so sorry. So Muramasa was like, ha, Master Masamune, your sword does not cut. It doesn't make the cut.
The other, right?
No, Muramasa was the student. Yeah, Masamune is...
yeah, I know, but you earlier you said Masamune made the better sword.
No, Muramasa made the better sword.
Oh. I thought you just said I don't know. Yeah, okay.
It's
backwards.
Okay.
I said it backwards. It's
okay.
All right.
It's okay, guys.
Continue.
So Masamune was like, ha, Master... so Muramasa was like, Master Masamune, your sword doesn't make the cut.
So you did it too.
I did it too. Think...
you might have done it earlier too.
Probably. And, so Masamune pulled out the sword, dried it, and put it back in its sheath. And, like, the whole time, Muramasa was like, it doesn't cut. It did nothing. It was completely a waste of time. But a monk had seen everything from the trees, I'm assuming, from the shrubs, from the bushes. And he walked over.
Sorry, I'm just imagining this, like, monk sitting up in, like, a tree going,
that's a sword.
That would be such a good print. That's a sword, and it's a monk in a tree. A monk in a tree.
Yes. Oh my god. We should totally do that as well.
Oh my gosh. So he walked over, bowed at like Muramasa and Masamune, and he tells them, "So I've seen that these swords, the first of the swords, is a fine sword. However, it is a bloodthirsty evil blade."
Dear goodness.
"And it does not discriminate who it cuts or what it cuts. And it may just as well be cutting down butterflies as serving heads. The second, by far, was the finest of the two, as it does not needlessly cut that which is innocent and undeserving." So the soul is in the sword.
In the fish.
In the fish. So, that is a legend. We are going to explain. Oh, it's in this. It's in the same packet. Sorry. So the Hanjo Masamune. It represents the Tokugawa shogunate, like from the Edo period, mm-hmm. because of the style. Yeah. And because, obviously, Masamune was, I think he was real. He was real. I double checked. He was an expert blacksmith, and the name Hanjo, according to, like, this article, like, it's probably, like, the sword's connection to General Hanjo Shinagawa. Shigenaga. Sorry. Who had gained or acquired the sword in battle in the late 16th century. And it kind of like earned this reputation of like a good and like honorable sword. to the user. So anyways, due to the U.S. occupation of Japan at the end of World War II, all swords were required by law to be given up. And the Hanjo Masamune, along with some other swords, were sent to, like, a police station where they were kept, and, like, in the 1940s, they happened to, I think, lose them. So the location of the Hanjo Masamune is just gone.
No!
But if you want to, like, go more in depth, you could,
go buy it.
You can go look for it and, like, spend all your savings looking for it. Oof. More in depth of this, you should check out the Expedition Unknown episode with Josh Gates, where he actually does go look for the Hanjo Masamune.
It's a really good episode.
It's a really, really good episode. And it explains a lot more about Japanese swords than I can. So, anything y'all want to say?
I like it. I liked both. I'm glad we had two different, like, in-depth swords. I think it's kind of cool how, like, the name's meaning for, the Japanese one, right?
Yeah.
Hanjo Masamune.
The 10,000 cold nights and tender hands.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I don't know if we got that from Excalibur. Like, do we know what that means?
Excalibur, or what it's supposed to mean? It means let us look.
It means let us look.
No, that means it does not let mean us that. Look.
But I do really like the fact that they have, like, names that mean stuff.
You good?
Dear goodness.
What happened? Oh. You good?
Yes, I just swallowed air.
Oh no, that sucks. I'm sorry.
I'm okay.
It means...
doesn't have a meaning.
It means, like... I don't want to say it because it sounds kind of suggestive.
Oh.
Oh no. There. Start from there.
Oh no.
It sounds suggestive, but then again, there's a reason why people make jokes, especially about swords and spears and...
Yes, we're not gonna say that out loud in this podcast because, like she said, it is suggestive.
It's interesting! It's just that.
Yeah. And this is a family podcast.
Hard cleft.
That. Anyways, I'm assuming because, like I said about the way swords were forged back then.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the Japanese names better, to be honest. They're cooler. They're, like, more descriptive and stuff. I like those. Yeah. Wheel. Anything else, Carson?
I can't think of anything about swords. I'm not very sharp.
Ba-dum-ts. Well, that was it.
Yes.
I blade my respects.
Stay safe.
Stay spooky.
And keep it uncanny.